morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you. Boy. By the way, Clive and Jeff, Karen's got $35 in an envelope for July 1st, your bus pass, all right? You got to pick it up for them. Somebody, I didn't ask them. I don't know about August, but we'll see. Good morning. A little business to deal with there. Friday night, we at CR had an absolutely wonderful night. Each year there's a couple of, thank you for the golf clap, appreciate that. And we have a step study graduation, and there was 9 gals that graduated. And, you know, it's a year's worth of work, and it is work to do an inventory in your life and what has hurt you and harmed you, and most importantly, who you have hurt and who you've harmed. And to come to grips with that, boy, you know, it's tough work, and they do it together, and they do it privately. And we don't get to hear much of that story, nor should we. And you get some sisters or some brothers, and it's just beautiful to watch them share their story and the breakthroughs they make and how Jesus changes lives. I just love seeing it, maybe more than anything. Well, there's a couple things I enjoy too, but I'm not going to go into that today. See, you know exactly what I'm saying, huh? Yeah, you boys in this room, you're just like me. Also, I love David's message last week. I watched it online at 9 o'clock. You know, whenever you have a guest speaker, you never know if they're going to be good, average, or something else. But, you know, to bring a boat in church, I mean, that was very creative, yes. But I was a little disappointed, I need to tell you. He's in the room. So, but he can't catch me because he got a new hip. So, I don't think he can catch me. So, but I really wanted to see Kenny and David in the boat. I really wanted that picture. I wanted that picture. Then I wanted to see him try to get up out of it. And but as I was watching the message, a weather event in heaven or in space, I mean, who comes up with that? Only our commander, and with the sun. And it's safe to say that no other church in the world heard that message, in the whole wide world. So it was really cool. Great stuff. That's enough clapping. You clapped for him when he came up, by the way. I saw that, and I'm happy for him. And but today, finding Jesus in my life, really this is about Jesus showing up. And we always want to figure this out. I want you, if you say, well, what do I want? I want you all to know Jesus more than anything, and most of you do. I get that. But beyond that, I want Jesus to be personal, and I want him to be real, and I want him to be present in your life. And part of the work is yours, ours. It's not just him. He may be present, and you may not know how to feel it, touch it, see it, live in it. And today we're going to talk about that and hopefully open some doors that way. Steps that maybe you can take or think about or ponder on, learn how to look for him when he does show up. So at church one morning, this gal said, my friend Gwen was about to start her 4-year-old Sunday school class when a little boy showed up without any identification, nothing, had nothing on him. And Gwen managed to get his first name, but couldn't figure out his last name, couldn't get it out of him. She tried as hard as she could. And so she said, Brian, what's your daddy's name? He looked at her and he said, Daddy. She tried again, Brian, what's your mommy's name? Mommy. And so she thought to herself, suddenly realized exactly how she could get the answer that she needed and wanted so she could identify him. Brian, what does your daddy call your mommy? And his eyes lit up, and with a grin and a deep voice, he said, hey, babe. I love Brian. I like Brian. So what happens to you when Jesus shows up? Do you know where? Do you know how? Do you know when? Do you have any antenna for it? Are you looking? Are you hoping? Are you living arm in arm, hand in hand with him? That's the stuff we're going to try to visit today. So let's pray as we move through our service. Lord, thank you that we can be here, that we can be together, that we can seek you in this place, that we can try to figure out how we can be closer to you, how we can feel sense and live in your presence. And I just pray, Jesus, there'd be some breakthroughs in each of our lives today as we ponder what could be, as we try to peek over the fence of the Bible and see what you did and how you lived and how you functioned. I pray, Lord, that all of us, every one of us, bless you. I pray that every one of us could get closer to you because we lean in, because you're welcome in our life. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room, into our lives, into our families, and pray that you would touch them, each one of them. And we just love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're continuing our series, Making Much of Jesus, as Kenny talked about. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about seeking and experiencing his presence. And we talked about seeing Jesus in me, seeing Jesus with me, and seeing Jesus in others. And it was sort of a beginning of what this message is going to be. And today it's all about seeing Jesus show up in our lives, finding him in my life so that I can celebrate that, so that I can potentially talk about that to others if interested. And in real ways, we're going to start off with a question. And I appreciate you asking that, and that is, why is Jesus showing up often missed? Why? Why do so many miss it when he does show up? Thank you, again, for asking that question. A couple of thoughts. Number one, we can live unaware of Jesus working in our life. Just unaware. It's kind of innocent. It's not meant. But it's kind of the way we function. There's a lot to do for every one of us. If you gave me your to-do list this week, and it was honest and sincere, it would be intimidating, and you know it, and I know it. It's the way we have begun to live our life. And as we grow older, we use that word retirement, which most people don't get to because they still got to make money somehow, some way. They stay busy even after it. Then some of us like that word semi-retirement, where we're still working, men and women, but we're semi. Going to go out there and play a little bit more. But you get my point. We're just overwhelmed. Often we don't look for him in our daily life. And I want to encourage you today to do that. We don't anticipate Jesus actually showing up in our life, doing something, moving in some way, using me in some way, making an opportunity to touch the life of another person. I always talk about little things. Little things are what matter most. Because if you do the little things, the big things end up getting done. Little things matter. And when you give little touches of love, little moments of value to somebody else, not just the ones you love already, that's good too, by the way, but in life, when you do little things, when you learn somebody's name and you continue to say it, they're kind of stunned by it when you're not normal in their life. But maybe he has a divine appointment for you today, later today. Maybe he does. I don't know. I'm not in control of it. One that we don't even know about. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you hoping? Not a big deal, a little deal. You're going to meet somebody new. You're going to go down the Riviera where there's way too many people and you cannot park. Trust me. If we don't expect him to do anything, if we don't anticipate it, how would we ever see him? If we fail to look or watch for him, how can we see him show up? Just assume it, people. You're his. He loves you, and he always will, no matter what. Why is Jesus showing up often missed? Because we can live unaware. Number two, when he shows up, we can forget. Now, there's times where he'll make a dent in your life when you're a real Jesus follower and you're looking for him. Something special happens in a good way. It's not just about Jesus, it's about anything. And we can be overwhelmed, encouraged. Our life can be touched and touched deeply by something. Then a week goes by or a month or a year and what happened? No big deal. Hey, I don't even remember it. Happens all the time. This is part of the battle for gratefulness and thankfulness in our life to people around us. It can just wear out. We forget what happened, what we heard, what we felt, what we learned at that moment. And I'm not a big journaler. I'm just not that way. I'm a liver. And I don't remember a lot that's happened in the past. But when Jesus shows up, let it mark your life. Let it make a difference. And oftentimes, if you don't talk about it, it's just going to go away. And you may or may not be right, but if something positive happens, if something negative happens, whatever it might be, anticipate that that's Jesus showing up. He, after all, is in control. And a third thought here would be also, these moments can be missed or sadly ignored as if it's just life and circumstance, which, by the way, we're going to talk about next week. But what he may be doing today in our lives or in the future can just be missed or set aside. And what happens if we miss these moments is it can bog down the impact Jesus wants to have on your life and mine. It doesn't stop it. It just bogs it down. We don't see and feel and learn from it. And we can lose being close with him. And that's what I want for you more than anything. I mean, I want you to be healthy. I want you to be successful. I want all that stuff for you. But what I really want, what you ought to dream for, is to be close with Jesus. How do I get there? How do I get there? We can lose that personal involvement we could have had with Jesus. I mean, somehow waking up in the morning and saying, "Good morning, Jesus," as if he's really real. Hey, Jesus, you're driving down the street alone. I love you. How many times you call your wife and tell her you love her? I'm hoping it's a lot. There was a lot of silence in the room. I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous between Sandy and I. It's kind of silly. And I love it. And she's not perfect, by the way. Let's be clear about that. Ruth Graham, I've told you this before, but the wife of Billy Graham, because it just cracks me up. If God answered every prayer of mine, I would have married the wrong man 7 times. In other words, she's glad that he said no and showed up. She got to be married to Billy. And they built a beautiful life, one that all of us know their name and their impact. Matter of fact, Sandy's daddy, I think, came to faith at one of Billy Graham's crusades. A long, long time ago. Take note of when you feel that Jesus shows up. Take note of it. Talk about it to those you love. This is a mindset, folks. To see him, you must be aware. Because he is alive. He is real. He is in your life. It's something we build over time. And we learn over time. So how to recognize Jesus showing up. You ready?
Huh?
Simple things, but simple things are where we live. Number one, train yourself to see him, Jesus, showing up. Just from now on, the rest of your life, start going on a hunt. We all like treasure hunts, especially if there's gold at the end of them somehow. Those of us that like crypto are looking forward to a little more treasure in the months ahead. Just a little humor for the crypto guys in here. Was that too much? Hey, you guys are tight today. What did David do to you? You need a scientist up here? Come on, relax. Let's have some fun. Start expecting it. Start looking for it. I want to light a fire underneath you. And do it all day long. Don't just hope. Look for him to show up. Say, "Jesus, I want to feel your presence." Say it. Don't just come on Sunday and hear about it. Live it. Take it aboard. Say, "Jesus, thank you for those beautiful mountains when you're driving by them. Thank you for blessing my life in this way. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Look at the beginning of the story of Lazarus in John 11:4. It says, "When he heard this, Jesus said about Lazarus," he already knew, by the way, he's God, he knows everything, but living out this human existence, and he does this boldly with great clarity. He says, "When he heard this sickness, whatever it was that he was facing, we don't know, he says, it will not end in death." Now, this is a pretty bold statement. We could not make this on a human level. We don't have the power he has. We don't have the foresight, the insight of knowing the future. He's not saying he wouldn't die, because we all know the story. He did die. But he's saying he wouldn't stay dead. They don't know that. We don't know that at this part of the story, but I'm assuming most of you know Lazarus had some more days on earth. This is beyond human capacity to understand. So as the disciples struggle, give them a little bit of a break here. The sickness will not end in death. And he goes on to say, he tells us why he's living this story and this situation with Lazarus. He says, no, it's for God's glory. Now, a guy's going to die and be buried for 4 days. Actually, his body's going to begin to rot in the sun, in the tomb. And he's going to be stinky. We're not going to get to that part of the story. That's a fun part for an old youth pastor. But the illness, the death, his coming resurrection in front of everybody. We don't like the thought that death can be a good thing. We're troubled by that, but it can. We're not in charge, folks. And to know that is so cool. To understand that. Struggle with it? Okay. But to know it. You and I are not in control. Is to really honor God. But in history, when we look back on the death of Lazarus and the resurrection of his life, think of the impact it's made over the years. It continues to show off the power of Jesus in his life. Let's go on. He says, no, it's for God's glory. Why? So that God's Son may be glorified through it. It was the whole purpose of Lazarus dying. And all the struggle, all the tears, all the wailing, all the sadness, all the anger at Jesus because he didn't get there sooner and heal him like they knew he could. What the end result was is many honored Jesus and recognized him for who he really was. And it should be true of our lives as well. You've been changed. I've been changed because of who Jesus is. My whole life, the trajectory of my life, what I'm about, what matters most to me. Jesus is saying this situation will not end in death. And he's already died. He's dead right now in terms of the world. No matter what, Lazarus will end up alive. How bold is that? What he's claiming actually could get him killed, and actually it did. Let's go on. Verse 11 there in your notes. You with me here? I love this story. After he said this, communicating that they don't need to fear the future and whatever happens to Lazarus, you don't need to fear. He went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Now in the Bible, when you've fallen asleep, it can mean a number of things. One of the things that it can mean that you've died. He said, but I'm going there to wake him up. Jesus is telling them, I'm going to raise him from the dead. But they don't see that. They're not getting that from what Jesus has said. His disciples replied, verse 12, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Yeah, let him rest. Let's get some rest time. Let's get some snoozing in. They thought Lazarus was recovering. We run from death, and we don't need to. I'm never asking you to like it. But when somebody dies in the Lord, the truth is we need to celebrate it. His disciples thought he meant natural sleep. You know, we have a misunderstanding with the disciples. Let's go on, verse 14. So then he told them plainly. He had to be direct. He goes, guys, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, this is not about Lazarus. This is about you. Circumstances in our life can be about us, not the person that's suffering them. You go, Jim, that's not fair. Hey, folks, life isn't always fair. You know that, right? And for your sake, I am glad I was not there to heal him. This is all the movement of God here, if you see it. Men, there's a plan in place. And I'm trying to take you there. Trust it. Trust me. It will be good for you. Guys, I want to show up in your life. Listen to me. So that you may believe. It's almost like God is saying, look, I let Lazarus die. And I'm going to bring him back to life to show you who I really am. And I'm going to announce to the world and to everybody that lives that I am the resurrection and the life. And he is. Let's go on. So that you may believe. He says, okay, well, let us go to him. Verse 16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, Mr. Ask Questions, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. People go, ha, that's pretty pessimistic. No. They just anticipated that their life was going to come to an end following Jesus. That's what they believed. This was perceived as a suicide mission going back. You know that, right? That's why these guys were terrified on a human level. Jesus was preparing them to see something amazing, to show up, to believe before it happened. If somebody just listened to him, they wouldn't have to struggle. Maybe if we learn to listen to him, we don't have to struggle the same way. I don't ever want to appear cold-hearted or mean-spirited or that I don't care. You know, it's always scary when a bottle's already open and somebody drunk from it. I'm not drinking from that one. And it's not about COVID. It's just about cooties. Exactly what I mean. That didn't fit the story, but I know it's different today. It's not the same as then, and we aren't walking around with Jesus present. I get it. It's different. They were with him. He's not physically here, but he spiritually is with us more than he was with them. He lives within us, and we don't take advantage of that. We don't. We don't. If I owned 10 of the best Corvettes in the world, and I said, if you're my friend, you can drive them. One day a month. They're mine. And I'm going to share them with you so you don't have to buy one because they're very expensive. I continue to look at them every once in a while. I go, Sandy, you could get me that one day if you want. She just goes, I'm not getting you a Corvette. Your back would hurt just getting in it. I go, okay, all right. Those Corvettes wouldn't be yours, but they would for a day. I'd put a governor on them, especially if you're under 50. You could only go 50. He did say, Jesus, that I'll always be with you. Always. Do you believe that? Do you live like you believe that? See, this is where Jesus showing up gets real. That he's with me always, more than anybody. I want you to watch this, just for a moment, concerning your lives and your schedules. Thank you. All right, you're all here. You're at church. You did it. You did it, all right? Just some thoughts. So how to recognize Jesus showing up. Number one, train myself to see him, to look for him, to hunt for him. He's with me always. He's in charge of all things. He wants to use Jim today. Probably the most important thing I can do today is love and encourage my wife. She's my wife. It starts there. Then beyond that, you know, with adult children, probably be nice to them. Be kind to them. I'm going to just stop there because they may be watching. Number two, let's go on. Look for him to use you. See and experience divine appointments, number two. I don't know how you view your day. It's going to happen. Monday's coming. Whatever it is, it's going to happen. But following Jesus, when we do it, makes others want what we have, at least on some level. At least on get a little bit curious. It gives us the capacity to impact other people. I'm not saying it's gonna. We're not going to get somebody to pray this week that to trust Jesus in their life. But who we are and what we believe because of what we've chosen, it really matters more than I think we know. Jesus wants us to make impact. And he's the one that creates opportunities. And I think he does it over and over again. And I think sometimes we miss him. Your life is to be about people and loving people. Jesus wants to play a role in that when you do it, when you give love away. So how to see and experience divine appointments. Number one, view what's scheduled in my day. So you've got a day after church today. And my encouragement always is the first thing in the morning, when your day starts, what you gonna do, Jesus? You know, the old cops, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Jesus, what are you gonna do today in my life? What are you gonna do with my life? Today matters. And I don't think we've learned the art of putting that into place. It's like, okay, we're getting a lot of Jesus now. We're singing songs with Sandy or with whoever's at the piano, not me. Got way too excited here, way too much coffee today. I went to Hi-Fi Espresso down in the village because I live by the beach and I was trying to be cool, and they gave me this espresso that I just started sweating after I went, oh, I'm concerned about the people at church today. We'll vote later if I should have one next Sunday before I come in after I have my wife's cappuccino in the morning. But what you gonna do today, Jesus, with me? Can you shift gears? Can you put that on your mirror? Because he wants to do something with you. He wants to do something with me today, whatever day it is. Why waste a day with Jesus? Why? Whatever it is, Jesus, I'm in. I'm in. Bring it on. Bring it on. As we know, people are important to him, more important than anything. And as we talk about schedules, who we're actually meeting, if we have one, what appointments we may have, assume that Jesus set it up. Because you're his. You belong to him. And whatever meeting you go into, he goes with you. Whoever it is. You can live different. You can live different. As we live with our schedule, keep this in mind. Proverbs 3, 5 and through verse 6. Beautiful words. Trust in the Lord. This is an action that we ought to take, to trust who the Lord is and to submit to his control, okay? With all your heart. Make Jesus the love of your life all day, every day. And lean not on your own understanding. Now, I'm a smart guy relationally. I believe I possess wisdom from God because I've studied the Bible, because I've done this job, because I've seen so many different lives. I put that stuff together with my life at my age. And if you ask me what I think, it's not going to be bad news that comes from me. You may not like what it is, but like if I was talking to a guy and he was thinking about getting a girlfriend and he was married, what do you think he'd get? He'd get wisdom. No. Don't lean on your own understanding. We do this all the time. All the time. Human insight isn't enough. It's not bad or without value. That's not the point here, but it's just not enough. He says, in all your ways, small and big things, acknowledge him. Make plans under his direction. Submit to him prior to deciding. Say, God, I really only want what you want. You don't have to say that out loud, but live your life. Align your life that way. Why, men, if pornography is a great temptation, and if you slip into it every now and again, do you need to stop? Because God doesn't want that for you. Just stop. Pull away. And if you need help, I got guys you can meet with that have struggled with it. And by the way, every guy struggles with it. Oh, nobody is breathing in the room. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I've got a friend. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Asking for his help, whatever it might be. And he will make your path straight. Look at the promise here. This is God's part in life. It's not, God's going to make my path straight. All I have to do is submit to him. I have to trust him. I can't make all my paths straight. I've made such a mess of certain things throughout my life. He's the one that straightens them out. I don't have to fix everything. This is more than guidance. It means that God will move obstacles, especially if you're his and you want to represent him and you're looking forward to him showing up in your life. If this is how I want to live, trusting in the Lord, looking for him to lead me, acknowledging him throughout my day, expecting him to be involved, guiding me, coaching me, showing up regularly. Who's the one that's smiling? It's God. So view what's scheduled in my day. Maybe he set it up. And maybe it's, if you run a company, maybe you have to fire a guy. And you do it with tenderness. And maybe he gets a few bucks because you know he's going to struggle. And you didn't have to do it, but you can. So he gets a little extra severance. Not because you owe it to him, but because you care. He doesn't know that's a Jesus thing. But be Jesus in your life all day, every day. So view what's scheduled in your day. A second type of divine appointment is a spontaneous appointment. A spontaneous appointment with people that you know. So this isn't a scheduled appointment. But we always say life happens. A spontaneous event or appointment is something unexpected. It just happens. Yet it's very normal. You run into somebody. It happens to me all the time. David and I, Commander, we were walking on the beach, and I had the privilege of meeting a 4-star general that was like a Top Gun guy. And he's like 58. I asked him how old he was because he looked older. And I thought, whoa, I'm 10 years older than you. And because he, being a general, everybody goes, oh, that has to be an easy life. No, there's so much on you. This guy's a dude and a really nice guy and a powerful guy and a humble guy. And I didn't know I was going to get to know him. I'll probably never see him again. I don't know. But you never know what's going to happen. You just run into somebody. And this kind of thing happened to Jesus. The guys he knew took him aside, and you all know the story. And it's really a sad one. But they realized that Jesus really might be gone and killed and all that. They didn't know why or where. But in verse 35 of Mark 10, then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him, along with their mom, Matthew tells us. Teacher, they said, we want you to do whatever we ask. Sort of set him up. If you want to set somebody up, pick somebody different than Jesus, okay? What do you want me to do, he asked. What are you asking me? They replied, let one of us sit at your right, another at your left in your glory. When you move on, we want to be right next to you because we're special, right? That's what they're saying here. We want a prominent position alongside you. This is what man lives for oftentimes. Not serving others, not loving others, not being humble. He just wants to be great. And once you know that, you can be freed from that. Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking, guys. He told them the truth. Jesus said, can you drink from the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? He knows what's coming and the horrendous stuff that he was going to face. We can, they answered. They said, we got this. You know, man is so arrogant. They don't understand. They don't know what they're saying. Spontaneous events. This just happened in Jesus' life amongst people he knew. They give us an opportunity, though, throughout the course of our day and week and month to encourage someone. to be a positive person, to build somebody up. Maybe they need just what you've got to give. It's so good to see you. Or a hug here, a hug there, where they wouldn't, you know, we're starting to sort of get back to where we can hug now, right? Do a little bit more than fist bump, right? No? All right. Whatever. You do your thing. But people just, we just run into. One gal said, when we are rightly related to God, life is full of spontaneous, joyful uncertainty and expectancy. Live alive is what I'm asking. Love anybody you come in contact with. A third type of divine appointment is a surprise appointment. A surprise appointment with somebody you don't know. All right, something may just happen. Let's say that Jesus has a plan for you today that you don't know about. You don't have a clue. Completely unaware. But Jesus is up to something. He's showing up in your life. And it's going to happen today at 2:15, wherever you're at. No, I'm just kidding, but you get what I'm saying. Always be looking for this. You never know what's going to happen. Let Jesus have you in this way. Jesus, I'm ready to love somebody. Jesus, I'm ready to live for you right now, today. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe nothing happens, but maybe it does. Be a welcome agent for him. Jesus had one of these happen. Many of you know this story in Sychar. In John 4:4, now he had to go. The idea is he had a divine appointment. Go through Samaria. So Jesus is on the move. He's alone. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, about a half mile south of the city. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God at the same time. So he's worn out. He sat down at the well, tired of walking, traveling, the heat of the day, all that stuff. Maybe hungry, thirsty. It was about the sixth hour, 6 hours after sunrise, around noon, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now, that's a big deal. A lot of you know this story, but generally the women came closer to the evening to beat the heat or early in the morning. She's here closer to noon, and we'll talk about that. Well, we're not going to talk about it later, but what happens is she gets confronted about how many husbands she's had. And I'm not certain that she was married to all those guys, so that's an interesting story for another time. But verse 7, when she came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" So this divine appointment that's a surprise appointment happens. And we all know what the story is now. She starts talking to him, and he says, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. She's going, what? She's a real person. She got it. She goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then he explains that he's the Messiah. And she leaves there and goes, tells people after this surprise appointment that happened with a lady he'd never met before. He started up a conversation and moved to really deep stuff if you read the rest of the story. And it's a beautiful one. So how do we recognize Jesus showing up? Train yourself to see him throughout the course of your day. See and experience divine appointments. And number three, regularly share your real story. What is your real story? Your walk, your changed life. I heard eight of them, because one gal was in Egypt on Friday night, of people that had their lives changed. I'm going to read to you John chapter 9, I believe it is. And we're just going to read it and have some fun. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath, right? Don't even mow your lawn. Can't even start your car if you're a true temple worshiper. Got to walk to church. Verse 15, therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received the sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and washed, and now I see. Just told him what happened. This is his story. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Everything was about rules and regulations. How to know you're a legalist? Because you're all about the rules. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such a sign? Some people said, wait a minute, dude was blind, and now he sees. So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? So they start kind of going after the guy that was blind that can see, which is just funny. It just has humor. Not celebrating anything. Not planning a party, okay? It was your eyes he opened, the man replied. He is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. They wanted to confirm this. Verse 19, is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you can say was born blind? Could never see in his life? How is it that he now can see? We know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. They didn't want any part of this because they knew that being close to Jesus got you in trouble. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, you're a spiritual leader and people are afraid of you. Picture that. You got a problem, dude. Who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. They'd be sent away. And when you were put out of the synagogue, it wasn't just you can't go to church, temple, but you were cut off from society. You couldn't sell goods. You couldn't let your Airbnb function. You couldn't have a Pinterest account, all that stuff. You know, verse 23, let's go on. It doesn't say that there. You get the point though? They couldn't make money. That was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. They were afraid for themselves. Now pick it up in your notes. It's right there. Verse 24. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. They had him back again. He thought this was all over with. And they say, give glory to God by telling the truth. You're not telling the truth, dude. Something's haywire here. Stop lying and telling us that Jesus didn't really heal you. Tell us he didn't really heal you. Give us the truth. There must be a different answer. They knew there had to be. We know this man's a sinner. You see, they were just locked on to their rules. They couldn't see beyond it. Why are you giving him credit? They're attacking this poor guy. He's a blasphemer. He can't be from God. The goal is clear for the Pharisees. They are in attack mode. They refuse to consider Jesus as being from God. They're ignoring, or at least trying to, the blindness issue that he really could see. They're ungrateful, demanding, insensitive, and arrogant. Four words that you never want to be said about you. All of them. Destructive. Verse 25, he, the ex-blind guy, replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. This is a simple guy. He hasn't been highly educated. He couldn't see. He's saying, look, I'm not the theological experts you guys are, so I don't have an opinion on him being a sinner. I don't even know what you're talking about there. But now one of the most classic lines in the whole Bible, right here, right now on your notes. But one thing I do know, fellas, I was blind and now I see. My whole life. He wasn't afraid of them. He was so stoked to be not blind and to see colors and hues and people and their mouths when they were talking, moving. He wasn't protecting something. He wasn't guarding something. He was simply telling them what happened. Will you tell people what's happened in your life? Gently. Don't force it. But what has really happened? What have you heard that brought you to the place where you're at right now? What? What? Somebody had to unpack Jesus for you, and I'm not talking about me. There's a lot of me's. Without Andy Stanley, who would you be? You wouldn't understand space the way you do without the commander. These religious leaders were frustrated and ticked off. Pick it up, verse 26. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? So there is a little curiosity. What exactly did he do? How did he open your eyes? They're asking this blind guy. He doesn't know. Come on. If this really happened, there had to be something special in that mud that he put on your eyes. Verse 27, he answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Now remember your audience. This guy is now speaking up. I've told you and you wouldn't listen to me. I think he did this with a little bit of attitude. He did the shrug, the Michael Jordan shrug. Why do you want to hear it again? Now he's kind of getting in their face. He saw no point in rehashing what he'd already said. And I think a little sarcastic, this would not have gone over well in that audience. Do you want to become his disciples too? Oh my, he's now crossed over. But he's telling his story. Can you tell your story? Let's say you're 70 years old and you got some grandkids and they live in Tennessee. And you're buddies with them. You send them gifts and, you know, get to spend a lot of time with them. But they're 8 or 9. And you tell your kid, you know, I was in church today. And the pastor was talking about Jesus showing up. And then you wait to see if they kind of engage. And what if they say, Grandpa, who's Jesus? Oh, he's somebody I really love, grandson. You see where I'm going here? And you say, you know, he talked about this blind guy that was blind from birth. You can be me, privately, relationally with other people. You don't have to be a public speaker. But we need to talk about this stuff. Your story, not mine. Your story. What he's really saying to the Pharisees is maybe you want to become a follower too. He is pretty amazing. Look what he did for you. What could he possibly do for you? Let's go on. Verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him. This is what happens. I do want to forewarn you. Your daughter or son-in-law or son and daughter-in-law might not like you talking about to your 8-year-old about Jesus. That's okay. They can do it. Do it anyway. Lovingly. Gently. Because if you don't, who's going to? But they may hurl insults at you and tell you, Dad, I don't want you doing that. Okay, honey. Well, then can I talk to you about it? You'll be like the blind guy. Come on, I just love Jesus. I've fallen in love with him. He's become my everything. For you to say that to somebody in your family might go, what? What? What's happened to Dad? What's happened to my mom? It's okay. Let Jesus have the honor because we want them to know him more than anything else. Anything. Verse 28, then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. You've become a follower of him. He says, we are disciples of Moses. Doggone it. They refused to believe in anything Jesus said about himself or in any amazing thing that he did. This is a problem. The ex-blind guy finds a mission as a truth teller. If a guy that was blind his whole life can become a truth teller, so can you. So can you. In your own way, with your own personality and your own style. When you think Jesus interacts with you and shows up, tell somebody. Share it. Let it be known. They may think you're odd, and the truth is you are a little odd. You're looking for Jesus in your life every day. That's a little weird. But he says, I'm with you every day, Jim, until you die. I'll never leave you. Help others see that Jesus is really alive to us. Don't be silly. Don't be stupid. Don't go over the board. But talk about him, the one you love. Talk about him. At least have the conversation. So three quick universal truths for our lives. Number one, nothing is a surprise to God. Nothing. It just isn't. It can be to us, but when something happens, there's a purpose. Assume Jesus set it up. Go with it. Go with it. We need to be willing to show up for him, to be available as he shows up for us. Number two, divine appointments can teach us, whether they're spontaneous, whether they're planned, whatever they might be. They're not just about others. They're opportunities for us to learn something. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe Jesus is trying to push you. Maybe there's going to be some calls to some grandsons and some granddaughters today before the sun goes down. Who knows? Every appointment should be met with real expectancy. Every one of them. Live different, people, to see what Jesus might do, to see what we might learn through it. Asking Jesus, what can you teach me through this day in my life? See, the closer you get to him, the more tender-hearted you're going to become. So if you don't want to be a tender-hearted person, get away from this church. Leave now. Because Jesus will make you a better lover in your life towards others if you continue to listen to somebody teach you about him. And you pursue him. You'll become a better man, a better woman. That's what Jesus does. That's his business. Number three, people aren't the same after meeting Jesus. As we look at the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each encounter that Jesus has with people, they just aren't the same. He changes things. People are affected by him. When Jesus presents an opportunity in our life, whoever it might be, grab hold of it. Encourage away. Love away. Value that person. When these divine appointments happen, get excited. Expect Jesus to show up this afternoon and start tomorrow morning. Start looking for him. Now let's make sure we show up as well. Watch this in closing. Enjoy. Turn it.
I've been wrestling with purpose. What was I created for? I'm more than what you see on the surface. See beneath my skin and scars. I'm skinned and scarred. Marred and twisted, scarred by the past, I need to be lifted. And sometimes, I question my own existence. What was I put here for? In my seams, it seems that there seems to be more. It's like I'm a light, unplugged from the socket. I mean, do I really exist to put money in my pocket? This 9 to 5 feels like a 9 to 9. My mind entwined, I pass the time, life circles me as I wait. What is my estate? I feel like I was made for something great, and yet I can't quite put my finger on it. But when I look at my fingers and I see the design, I realize I'm one of a kind, and something created me. No, someone created me, and that someone made me for a reason. Even though it's clear the past years have been treason, I still sense this drawing, this calling, that even in the midst of my falling, there was someone who died to pick me up, someone who rose to fix me up, someone who's coming back to lift me up. And that someone is Jesus. See, God made me for a purpose, and when I delight in him, it's brought to the surface.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to give that rap today, but I thought I'd let him do it. Let's pray together, guys. Lord, thank you that we can talk of you here, that we can try to dig in and drill down on what it is to live with you hour by hour, moment by moment. Jesus, we believe you. We trust you. Make yourself alive in each of us. May we dig into the treasure chest that you have for us. And let us be fruitful with the lives of those around us. Even if they don't like what we believe or how we want to touch them and love, give us courage to be men and women, boys and girls, who stand for you. I pray that for each of us in this room. Thank you for time together. We love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, have a wonderful day, my friends.